That's right. So going back again to, well, which of these two paths do we choose, member-managed or manager-managed? You know, it might be preferable if all the members, here we've got two currently, are going to be actively involved to just have it all in the hands of the manager, or I'm sorry, all in the hands of the members, and they can work closely. It sounds like they'd both be very hands-on at the office or at the restaurant day-to-day. If looking down the line, they're going to be bringing in a lot more folks, family or friends or colleagues, maybe at that point they choose to amend. So in any event, once you file with the Secretary of State, which type of management structure you've got, we're going to go back to what Cliff was talking about earlier, where you're going to want to make sure that the company agreement adequately reflects the mechanics of what you're expecting. So if you're going to have managers managed, you need to set out the number of managers, how they're appointed, how they're elected by the members, if you want to remove somebody, how do those mechanics work? If someone chooses to resign or there's a death, you know, how does that pass? All of those pieces that Cliff was talking about before the break, those need to be set out clearly. As a reminder, again, you know, if anything is not covered in the operating agreement or the company agreement, the Texas BOC will operate, but a lot of those default rules may be a little bit counterintuitive from what you're thinking about, sort of going into just based on logic. And so because of the way that the statute is set up, for instance, the one that immediately comes to mind is what Cliff was talking about, where you have one member, one vote. So if Mary does put in 80% of the capital, Bob only puts in 20%, and they don't govern otherwise in the LLC agreement, you might have a situation where Bob can outvote Mary every time if they're member managed without expressly detailing otherwise in the company agreement.